Church, hey, it is so good to be with you guys. It's an honor. I could say the same things about Justin. Most of the stories would be embarrassing for sure, so I'll save a lot of them. But, you know, I want to say that Justin, when I first became a Christian, I had just graduated high school. I was getting involved in church, getting involved in youth group, and Justin inspired me. He was one of those people in my life who showed me what it was like to have a hunger for Jesus, to go after God, and to be passionate about our faith. I mean, we used to ride to work together in the mornings, and sure enough, he had all the Christian songs playing. We didn't even have to listen to preachers on the radio. He would preach to those of us that were carpooling, and man, he just lit a fire in me to be about God, to be about the things of God, to grow in the things of God, and to be hungry. Justin was, I had asked him to be the best man at my wedding all those years ago, and we've maintained this friendship over the years, and it's just an honor to be here, Justin and Luann. Thanks for having me and my wife, Tiffany, and can you guys just do this? Could you put your hands together and let Justin and Luann know how much you appreciate and love them? Awesome leaders, awesome pastors, awesome preachers, and man, it's a joy to be with you guys. So I want to get into the message this morning. Will you guys pray with me before we do? Let's just open up our hearts to receive from God. I mean, you wouldn't be here this morning. Maybe somebody dragged you to church, but even so, I don't think you'd be here if you didn't want to hear something from God, if you didn't want to receive something from God. And so let's pray this morning. Jesus, thank you that you've gathered us. You've brought us into this place, and your love is great, and your arm is strong, and you're able, Lord, to meet us exactly where we are. And so, God, this morning, we open up our hearts. We open up our minds to receive what you would want to say and do in our lives. Help us to be receptive, Jesus. God, we didn't come to hear from a man or a woman. Jesus, we want to hear from you. And so, God, we open up our hearts to you this morning, and we ask you to speak to us in Jesus' name. And if you're in agreement, would you say, amen? Amen, amen. Amen. Thank you. Hey, my wife and I, we recently had to have something repaired on our car. We had to take our car to the mechanic and have it checked out. Any of you guys ever had to do that? Maybe a computer? Just by a show of hands, who's ever had to take a car to a mechanic, something like that? You know what it's like to have a need, to have something replaced, something repaired, something fixed. Good. You know what it's like then. You know, like when you show up, the first thing you do is you roll out your sleeping bag, you lay it on the floor, and you let the repairman know, hey, I'm just going to lay right here, and if you have any questions, if there's anything you need, if you need me to jump in, I'm going to be right here. It doesn't work that way, does it? When you take something to the repairman, you leave it with the repairman. And you know where I'm probably going with this. How often when we take something to God, maybe you've never even, you know, maybe that is a foreign concept to you. Bringing a thought, bringing a need before God. That's okay. But how often do we take something before God, and that's kind of the same approach we take with him. Hey, God, I've got this need. I've got this thing going on in my life. And as soon as we open up our lips, as soon as we put it before God, we kind of start that stopwatch. And we say, all right, God, you're on the clock. And I'm going to be right here if you need any advice. And just so you know, if I'm not happy with the progress, if I'm not happy with how things are going, I'm probably going to jump in and have to take over. I think a lot of times that's how our interaction with God goes. I think that's what it's like. I want you guys to do something. We're going to help each other out this morning. I want you to raise your right hand. Everybody, raise your right hand. You're going to have to open up your mouth. You're going to have to repeat after me. You're going to have to play along. Say, I hereby resign as ruler of the universe. Doesn't that feel good? Doesn't that feel good to have that off your shoulders, to no longer have to carry that? Listen, it wasn't our job in the first place. It wasn't our job to carry. God is so gracious. God is so good. He is so wise. I just want to share a real simple message with us this morning. Hey, listen, if you've been carrying something in your life, if there's a weight that is on your shoulders, this message is for you. If you've been worried about something, if there's a stress, if there's a pressure that's been kind of pressing on the sides and in the, of your life and in your heart, this message is for you. Maybe you've got kids who've recently gone back to school. Maybe you have parents that are aging. Maybe you have a decision that you have to make this week at work. Maybe there's career transitions around the corner. Maybe you're looking for work. Whatever the case may be, I believe this message is for you. Maybe you're just battling with fear and anxiety. This message is for you. Here's what I know. If you've faced any of those things, you're not alone. It is a common, shared human experience to battle the pressures and stresses of life. But listen, what if there was a support system for you and for me that would help us to maintain peace in our life? Would you be interested in that? If there was a support system that you and I could actually build into our life if we were intentional, if there was a support system that you and I could incorporate into our life that would help us to maintain the peace, listen, that God desires for you and I to experience, because we talk about it, but how often do we actually experience it? I believe God has that for us this morning. And so I want to share a message with you this morning called The Pillars of Peace. The Pillars of Peace. Not pillows, pillars. Anybody know anybody who says, who calls a pillow a pillar? You know anybody that does? I actually have a friend. Their mother was kind of raised, this is a true story, was raised kind of in Kentucky and was just a little more country, and they were playing Pictionary. The mother was playing Pictionary, and she drew the word pillar. And as she's playing Pictionary, she's actually drawing a bed with the sheets, and she's drawing pillows. And everybody's guessing pillows, pillows, pillows. And she's like, no, that's not what it is. And she just keeps drawing. And at the end, they're like, let us see the word. And she had pillar. But in her mind, a pillar was a pillow. So I'm not talking about the pillows of peace this morning. We're talking about the pillars of peace. I feel like more of us know someone like that than not. I'm going to read through this verse. I want you guys to try to identify the pillars. There's some that I've kind of drawn out. There's some that I think that are in this scripture. I want you guys, as we read along, see if you can identify some of the pillars. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Now, here's a verse we're all probably familiar with. It says, do not be anxious about anything. Wouldn't it just be amazing if there was just this flip we could switch and just automatically not be anxious about anything? I think that a lot of times that's how we read that verse. That's not what this verse is saying. What this verse is actually implying is that you don't have to live a life of perpetual anxiety. Don't let there be this ongoing existence that's all you know of stress and anxiety and worry and fearing around what's around the corner. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Look, here's what we want. This is what we want, and the peace of God, it's what we're talking about this morning, will transcend all understanding. It will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Last verse. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Look, again, here's what we're after. And the God of peace will be with you. Can we say that word together this morning? Peace. Peace. I believe there are some pillars contained within this passage of scriptures that if we will apply them, if we will be intentional about them, they will help us to support and uphold the peace that God has for our lives. The first pillar, guys, that I see is the pillar of praise. If you remember, we started with verse 4 and it said, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. The pillar of praise. You know, when you see something repeated twice in Scripture, that's actually just a method or a tool of actually emphasizing the importance of it. And so Paul's writing this letter and he says, rejoice. Then he's like, I don't think you got that. Evan, I don't think you heard me completely, so I'm going to say it again. I will say it again, rejoice. It's so important that he says it twice, and I think we need to catch that, because praise prioritizes my focus. It helps me to realize that not everything is just about this earth. It helps me to get my mind, my heart, my eyes off of the things of this earth and to prioritize them on the things above. I mean, when was the last time we just raised our hands and God, I thank you. Jesus, you're so good. Jesus, you haven't failed me yet. You haven't left me. You've never forsaken me. Your promises are true. God, you were faithful to me in the past and you'll be faithful to me in the future. God, I'm not going to let go of you. I'm holding on to you. Your love is kind. You've showed me your mercy. See what praise does? Praise uplifts a song within our heart. It gets our eyes and our hearts and our minds off of the things that are before us and helps us to realize that there is a God in heaven who is in control of all things. Amen? When was the last time you stopped focusing on the things that were right before you and just lifted your eyes to Jesus? You know, as the worship team was leading, I was just so encouraged, man. I love seeing young people leading the charge in worship. Good job. It was awesome. I love it. Lead away. When was the last time, guys, in an awesome church that we just took advantage of the fact that there is some tremendous worship going on? We got our hearts, we got our eyes, we got our minds off of the things that were going on before us, and we just got lost in worship. Just singing to God, just reprioritizing, refocusing everything that's gone on this week, everything that happened this morning. When was the last time we just took advantage of an awesome time in worship? When was the last time that took place? Guys, praise is a pillar that if we will establish it in our life, I believe God is saying, hey, this is one of the pillars you need in your life to experience the peace that God has for us. Here's the second thing. And I think this is maybe surprising, but you're going to have to give me a minute to build for it. It says, let your gentleness be evident to all. If you remember, it said that in that passage of Scripture. People. We need people in our lives. And we need to remember, too, that this life is not just about us. This life isn't just about us. It's about others, too. It's so easy. Don't you agree? It's easy to forget that this life is about other people, too. What if the pressures, any of you have any pressures, stresses going on? Show a hand, a head nod, I need some help. Somebody's got to tell me, yeah. Am I speaking to? Hey, what if the things that you're facing, what if God is building something in you and through you that can be helpful to somebody else? I think God wants us to remember that. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all. He didn't say let your pressure be evident to all. He didn't say, let your stress be evident to all. He didn't say, let your wrath be evident to all. He said, let your gentleness be evident to all. Listen to this. If you always look down, your world will be small. You'll only see what you're going through. If you look up, you'll realize it's never just about you. How often do we live lives with our hearts and our eyes down, looking at what we're currently facing, what we're currently going through, and we never look up and realize, man, maybe what I'm going through, maybe what I've experienced, maybe the things that I've been through can be used in someone else's life too. Maybe I'm not the only one that's in this. Maybe I'm not all alone. In the early 1900s, Sigmund Freud was doing research, and he was contending that man's purpose and motivation for living was a desire for pleasure. So Freud's arguing our primary motivation for living was because we want to experience and seek and run after pleasure. A few years later, another guy named Dr. Viktor Frankl, he was a neurologist and psychologist, he pioneered an approach to therapy that focused on the human search for meaning. So Freud's arguing, hey, we want to experience pleasure. Frankl comes along and he's saying, no, what we're really after is a deep sense of meaning and purpose. And so Frankl begins to contend with Freud, saying that man's primary desire wasn't for pleasure, but for a deep sense of meaning. And he went on to explain that when a person doesn't experience meaning, when a person doesn't understand that there's a purpose attached to their life, you know what they do? They begin to distract themselves with pleasure. Frankl, it's pretty interesting, he was actually a Holocaust survivor. He was doing the work in therapy and helping people with their mental state, and he was actually taken to concentration camps. He, his family, his wife, and he spent a number of years in the German concentration camps. And while he was in those concentration camps, he's choosing, it's amazing if you read about him, he's choosing to lift his eyes up and to realize that what he's going through, even in that state, was never just about him. His prescription to experience a deep sense of meaning was really simple. He said, you got to have three things. The first thing you got to have is you need to have a project that requires your focus or attention. The second thing is you need to build healthy, meaningful relationships, loving relationships. And the third thing is you have to have a redemptive perspective on the suffering and challenges that you've been through. You need to be able to look at those things, the challenges, the pressures, the stresses, the disappointments, the pain, the hurt. You need to be able to look at that stuff and see that there's something that is good that can come of those things. So Frankl began to practice, and the patients that he was helping, actually the results were remarkable, so much so that he was put in charge of the mental health division at the Viennese hospital system because they'd been losing so many patients to suicide. Under his care, the 30,000 patients that he was responsible for, when he began to take them through this process of focusing on a project, of building healthy relationships, and not allowing bitterness to build and develop in our hearts based on the pain and the challenges that we've experienced. Of the 30,000 patients that he was responsible for, they didn't lose one patient to suicide. And at the time, before he was over that, they were losing patients to suicide at a tremendous rate. But it's amazing what happens when we choose to lift up our eyes and say, you know what? This is never just about me. Even as he was in those concentration camps, he would find scraps of paper and he would begin to pen his studies and his theories and his writings. Even as he's in that state of a concentration camp, he's saying, how is it that this is not just about me? How is there a redemptive purpose in the midst of all that I'm going through? You know that even in Philippians chapter 4, the very verses that we read, Paul is writing that letter from a jail cell. He's choosing to use his pen, to use his paper. How is there a redemptive perspective that I can attach to all of this? Listen, if you don't know what your life is for, you'll end up using it the wrong way. There's a study that happened that started in 1938 at Harvard by a guy named Robert Waldinger. How many of you would like to have that last name? It's pretty memorable. It's actually an ongoing study. This study's been going on for nearly 80 years. And at the time, in 1938, they selected 268 sophomores at Harvard University. And they said, we're going to take these people and we're going to study their life over a period of time. And here's what we're trying to do. We want to find clues, some indicators for how to lead a healthy and happy life. So they studied these patients. Here's what Waldinger said. He said, relationships and how happy we are in our relationships has a powerful influence on our health. Listen to this. He says, taking care of your body is important, but tending to your relationships is a form of self-care too. All these years of study, all these years, all the possibilities, all the things that our minds would probably go through, here's what you need for a healthy and healthy life. You need possessions. You need to acquire this. You need to be able to travel. You need to be able to take trips. All these things that our minds would typically go to. You know what it all boils down after 80 years of study? You need to have healthy, happy relationships, understanding that it's not always just about you and that your life has a purpose in serving other people too. It's a pillar to peace. It's a pillar to peace, guys, when we realize, you know what? Maybe I just need to lift up my heart. Maybe I just need to lift up my eyes and look around and realize, you know what? This isn't just about me. It's a pillar to peace. Here's the other one. Guys, we need to realize that God's presence is near. It says the Lord is near. Paul's writing this and he reminds the recipients in this letter. He says the Lord is near. How many of you guys are familiar with the story of Elijah the prophet? You guys familiar with him and the prophets of Baal? And Elijah is this prophet in the Old Testament. He has this standoff with the prophets of Baal. And really what it all boiled down to is Elijah said, let's find out whose God is real. If my God's real, then that's the God that we'll serve. But if you are worshiping Baal and Baal is God and he comes through, then that's the God we'll worship. He says, here's how we're going to find out. We're going to build an altar and we're going to ask our gods to consume the sacrifice with fire, and whichever God responds with fire, that's the God whom we'll serve. You can read about it in the Old Testament, 1 Kings. So they have this standoff, and the prophets of Baal all day long, they're asking their God to respond. Would you come through? Would you come through? And they're taking extreme measures. Elijah finally has enough, and he gets up and he prays this simple, beautiful prayer. He says, God, would you respond so that these people know that you're the true God? And consumes the sacrifice with fire. Elijah's God comes through. Elijah experiences this tremendous victory. And I want you to see what happens next. Very next chapter. The queen at the time, Ahab and Jezebel, she begins to threaten his life and says, hey, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them, you better realize, Elijah, I'm coming after you. I'm going to kill you. She begins to threaten his life. Bible says that Elijah takes off, he runs off into the wilderness, runs for his life. And it's amazing, as Elijah's laying there in the wilderness, God meets him in this place, and in verse 11 it says, the word of the Lord came to him, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Listen, when Elijah ran to the battle, and when Elijah ran from the battle, God was in both places. You know, the Bible in Psalms talks about how we can never escape the Spirit of God. We can never get away from His presence. I want to tell you something. The Lord is near. Wherever you are, whatever you're facing, whatever this week looks like for you, whatever happened last week, whatever things you're carrying, I want to tell you, God is there. In Psalms 46, the Bible says that He's an ever-present help in our time of need. I dug into those two words, ever-present. I wanted to look at them a little more deeply. You know what those words are actually saying? That He is exceedingly and abundantly there. Wherever your need is, wherever your trouble is, He is going to be there with might and with force. He is exceedingly and abundantly in those places. Isn't that amazing? That whatever the need, whatever the trouble. See, our mind thinks the exact opposite. God's not in those places. God, there's no way God could show up there. I want to tell you something. Wherever you are, whether you're running to the battle or whether you're running from the battle, God is there. Sometimes we just need to be reminded that He is near and that He is here for us. It's a pillar to peace. Here's another one. Prayer. How many of you have spotted that one, identified that one as we were reading through the passage? That was an obvious one. If we want to experience peace, prayer is one of those pillars that we've got to build and work into our life. It says, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Let's just get honest for a moment. How many of you have ever been praying and your mind wanders? Anybody? Or are you guys just all like, you're just amazing at praying? Like, you've got that thing figured out. Right? You pray and your mind wanders. Let me ask you a question. What if the things that our mind wanders to are actually the things that we should be praying about? You ever considered that? What if instead of us trying to be all religious and pray the right prayers and you ever just tried to pray the right prayer, like, oh, it needs to sound like this and I need to use these words, and if I could just pray more like Pastor Justin, then I would be praying the right prayer. What if we just stopped trying to be religious and we actually just begin to pray about the things that are in our heart and mind? What if the places that our mind wanders to are actually the things that we should be praying about? What if our prayer list became the things that we're currently stressed about? I believe God could infuse our life with peace if we chose to maybe take a little different approach sometimes to the prayer that we experience in our life. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. To cast. And you guys fish? Me and my boys love fishing. I've got a 15-year-old boy, 13-year-old boy, and then a 5-year-old, and we all like fishing. And when I think of fishing, you know, you cast your line out, and what do? You reel it back in. But what actually this verse is saying is that when you cast, it means to throw off or to shed, to cast your anxiety, to throw your anxiety, to shed your anxiety on him, on God, because he cares for you. Even my boys and I, when we talk about going fishing, we don't even say the words, let's go fishing. We have a different language for it now. When you cast a line, it kind of makes it sound like, and so we don't even say, hey, do you want to go fishing? We say, hey, do you want to go, and we know exactly what we're talking about. But when we throw that line out, and if you're using artificial or a lure or something like that, you reel that line back in. You reel it back in. You reel it back in, and then cast it back out. Reel it back in. Cast it back out. You know what's amazing? Is this scripture is actually encouraging us through our prayers and through our time with God, that when we cast whatever that pressure, that stress, that anxiety is that you and I are experiencing or carrying in our life, what we do, instead of reeling it back in, right? Those are the types of prayers we pray, like, I'm going to throw this out, but I'm going to have to reel this one back in. What the Bible's actually telling us to do when we cast that out, you know what's crazy? It's saying that we would take our clippers out and we cut the line. We leave it there. Hey, remember at the beginning? I tricked you. But you and I resigned from being the ruler of the universe. It was a setup, man. That's not our job anymore. Listen, leave it at the repair shop. Leave it there. Cast it on him and leave it there. God says to cast it out and then cut the line. Guys, I got three quick ones. Here's the other one, perspective. Whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, these are the things that we should be thinking about. Perspective. Sometimes for you and I to experience peace, all we need is just a little different perspective. In storytelling, there's a term that's called the point of view, the POV. And stories, whether you watch a movie, read a book, stories are told from either the first person, second person, or third person POV, point of view. And depending on which perspective the story is told from depends on what you see and what you get out of the story. Guys, what could happen if you and I just took a slightly different perspective on the things that you and I go through? Maybe you've been carrying something for years. What could a slightly different perspective do concerning that thing you've been carrying? What could a different perspective, how could that influence maybe your marriage, your conversation that you have to have with your teenager? How could a slightly different perspective change and influence and infiltrate our lives? What if, what if instead of saying, you know, here's what's wrong and here's what's right, what if we took a different perspective according to this verse? It says whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, what if we began to ask those types of questions? What is right about my life? What is true about my life? What is lovely about my life? What is pure about my life? What is admirable about my life? What is excellent about my life? So often, guys, our perspective is what's wrong with my life. What needs to change in my life? What if we chose to use a different perspective? What is true about this situation? What is excellent about this situation? Listen, what if God sees something for your life that is completely different from what you see? And we just need our eyes to be open to it. I believe it can bring peace into our life. How often could a little different perspective change things in our world? Here's how things typically work. Like, an event takes place, something happens. Who knows? You fill in the blanks for whatever it is. A thought occurs, a feeling is then generated, and then what happens from there? Actions begin to spill out. Events happen, thoughts are generated, feelings take place, and then actions begin to spew and to spill out from our lives. Isn't it amazing that there could have just been one action in your life and it's completely altered the perspective that you have on everything? And all you need to experience a little peace, a little resolution, a little purpose concerning that thing is a slightly different perspective. God, what is lovely about this situation? What is true? What is noble? What is right? What's pure? What's lovely? What is admirable? God, how do you want to use this? God, how do you want to influence through this? God, how do you want to open my heart, my mind, my life through this? Jesus, what perspective do you have on this? Sometimes we just need a slightly different perspective. Guys, two more. Practice. Whatever you've learned, whatever you've received or heard from me or seen in me, Paul says, put it into, what's that last word, guys? Put it into practice. Kind of just tells, stop being so hard on ourselves. Kind of just tell you, stop being so hard on yourself. Listen, if it took this long for you and I to get this jacked up, I'm the only jacked up one in this place. If it took this long for you and I to get this jacked up, don't expect everything to just be fixed in 2 minutes. Listen, yes, God can do a delivering, tremendous work in our life in a moment, but there is also this aspect of following God where He wants to do a progressive, ongoing work where He conforms us more and more into the image and character of God. And so can I just say, put it into practice. We're practicing, guys. Can you just turn to the person on your right and left and say, I'm practicing. I'm doing my best. I'm doing what I can. I'm doing what I know to do, but I'm trying to get better, and God's with me in this. I'm practicing. Maybe there is some stuff that you need to put into practice. Maybe for you, practice means I'm going to read my Bible during my lunch break. I'm going to go out to my car when everyone else is doing what they're doing around the lunch table. Maybe the practice for you is I'm going to get more faithful reading my word. Maybe for you, the practice is I'm going to be more consistent in attending on Sunday mornings or being involved in a small group. Maybe that is what you need to practice. Maybe the practice for you is, you know what? I'm going to have a different perspective. I'm going to capture my thoughts. I'm going to start practicing developing new thoughts in my life. Thoughts that are more in alignment with the character of God, with the promises of God, with the truth of God. Maybe for you, the practice is I'm going to be quick to apologize. I'm going to learn to apologize faster. Whatever the practice is, do it. Put it into practice. And don't be hard on yourself and realize I'm practicing. I'm practicing, and so is the person that's sitting next to me, and so are my kids, and so is that employee. We're to the best of our ability, we're practicing. Put it into practice. Listen, it's not the things that we have done or that have happened to us that keep us bound. It is the lies associated with them that keep us bound. It's the things that we hold on to. It's the things that we choose to continue to believe that can't be different. That can't change. I can't have God's peace in this circumstance. I can't experience God's peace in this situation. God can't use the challenges, the pain, the suffering, the things that I've been through to bring peace into other people's life. See, it's not the circumstances that keep us bound. It's not the things that have been said to us that keep us bound. It's the lies that you and I choose to believe related to those things that keep us bound. We need a different perspective. We need a different practice. Here's the last one. The other pillar that we need to build into our lives. I believe it's amazing. Such a simple message that when God says, don't be anxious about anything, experience the peace of God that transcends, that goes above and beyond, even when it doesn't make sense that you and I would be able to experience peace in that situation. God says, I'm going to allow you to have some peace. Even when it wouldn't make sense, when the circumstances say otherwise, you can have peace. Here's the promise. Here's the other pillar. You need a promise. And the God of peace, listen, here it is, will be with you. The God of peace will be. That's the promise. That's the promise. Isn't that amazing? If we'll include these pillars in our life, that God's saying, you will experience my peace. It's the promise. That if you and I will build into our lives some praise, if you and I will choose to lift up some praise in our life, if you and I will get our eyes off of ourselves and realize that people matter, that God is near, that His presence is with us, if you and I will spend a little time developing some prayer, if you and I will work to change our perspective, if you and I will put some things into practice, God has a promise for us. He says, and the God of peace will be with you. It's not a matter of you and I just don't be anxious. Don't experience stress. Don't experience anxiety. As soon as we leave this place and you try to turn right and there's other cars coming and someone honks at you, and you, as soon as you leave this place, there's all kinds of pressures and stresses. It's not what he's saying. He's saying, if you'll incorporate, if you'll build these things into your life, the God of peace will guard your heart and mind. See, but here's the thing associated with promises. We think that they won't come to pass. Other people tell you, just forget it. Don't worry. It's not a big deal. It's not going to happen. Others tell us to forget about it. And so rather than moving forward, we stay right where we are. Here's what I want to ask us this morning. If you're in this place, you say, I don't want to stay where I am. I want to move forward. If you've got something that's been prohibiting you and preventing you from experiencing the peace of God, if you need the peace of God in your life this morning, would you lift your hand up? Say, I need the peace of God. Amen. Thank you. Who else? Just lift it up. God, over each person in this place, over each life, God, I ask that your peace would surpass all understanding. Jesus, I ask for a move of your Spirit, even right now, Lord, that your peace would begin to infiltrate their lives. God, that you would help us to identify, Jesus, maybe those pillars that are lacking from our lives. Which pillar needs to be built? Which pillar needs to be established in your life that will help you to uphold and to maintain the peace that God has for your life? God has peace for you. If you receive it, could you say, I receive it? God, we receive your peace. I want to do one other thing. stand here. You can keep your eyes closed. But maybe you're in this place, and as we've been speaking, your heart's been, it's been being drawn to God. Maybe as you, this past week, as you laid down at night, God's been speaking to you. Maybe there's a person at your work, and he's been just talking to you. And the only thing that you can make of it is that God is drawing you closer to him. Maybe you're like me 18, 19 years ago where you say, yeah, I'm tired of doing life my way and I want to start doing life God's way. Listen, maybe as we talked about the peace of God, God has been inviting you and you say, yeah, you can experience that peace. You can have that peace, but he's saying, you got to surrender. You got to lay down your life. You got to be receptive. You got to receive the work of my son, Jesus. You need to lay down your life. I'm talking to you. You're saying, I want to become a follower of Jesus. You're in this place and you say, I want to become a Christian. I want to become a follower of Jesus. The voice of God is drawing you. The Spirit of God is knocking on the door of your heart, and he's saying, would you let me come in? Would you lay down your life? Would you put it all in my hands? Would you follow me? If I'm talking to you on the count of three, I just want to ask you to lift your hand up if that's you. You say, I want to give my life to Jesus. On the count of three, all eyes closed, but I want to ask you to lift your hand up if I'm speaking to you. One, two, three, you lift your hand up if you want to give your life to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let me ask one more time. I want to be clear here. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but you've never given your life to Jesus, or you have in the past and you've walked away and you want to return. You say, I want to become a child of God. I want to become a follower of Jesus. One more time. If that's you, would you lift your hand up if I'm talking to you? Amen. One, two, three. Who else? Anybody else? Four. Five. Thank you. You guys can put your hands down. Church, can we do this? Can we pray this prayer together and out loud? Say, dear Jesus, I come to you today, a sinner. Would you wash me clean? Would you make me new? Would you fill me with your Spirit and touch me with your peace? I'm laying down my life to follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Church, can we put our hands together for that? Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Hey, I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Justin.